Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Thursday, August 6, 2020. Working from his home in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk, our producer. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home in New York. Taylor, we still don't have power. My computer, as we start the podcast tonight, is down at 20%. We got to roll before I run out.
We're flying. We're going to be, you know, on strict orders with Marley and Jesse. We got to get through this. We got to roll. We're doing some backdoor tricks to get through this a little bit faster. So hopefully we can get it done before your computer dies.
I just got a low battery notification, so we better roll. Commissioner Rob Manfred says protocols are working despite setbacks. He talked with our Jesse Rogers, who we're going to speak to in a little bit. He said, I think the vast majority of our players have done a really good job adhering to what are difficult protocols. They're contrary to the way people normally live their lives. Nationals ace Max Scherzer exited after one inning. He had a hamstring issue, but he told reporters afterward he doesn't think that's serious. The Braves placed infielder Ozzie Albies with a wrist issue. He went on the injured list, and they reinstated Nick Markakis, who, of course, initially opted out of the season, but then decided to come back. Shohei Ohtani spoke with reporters on Wednesday for the first time since he was diagnosed with a grade 1-2 strain of his flexor pronator mass in his pitching arm. And he told reporters he still wants to try to pitch. He said, but ideally, I would like to leave the window open for me to do both. The St. Louis Cardinals have been dealing with that outbreak of coronavirus, returned to the field for a light workout in St. Louis. They are hoping that they will be able to resume their season on Friday against the Chicago Cubs. We are scheduled to have them on Sunday Night Baseball. The Chicago White Sox lost a couple players to shoulder injuries. Nick Madrigal and Edwin Encarnacion left the game on Wednesday night. Cole Calhoun hit an inside the park home run. Here's my good friend Steve Berthiaume with the call.
Left side of the infield wide open for Cole. Gets into this one and shoots it toward the right field corner. That ball is
rolling.
Here comes Ketel Marte. He's rolling along. They're going to wave Cole Calhoun all the way in here.
Yeah.
It's a stand-up inside the park home run for Cole Calhoun.
Arizona Diamondbacks beat the Astros in that game 14-6. 6-1 with help from Victor Caratini.
Here's a swing and a line drive, base hit into right field. This is going to drive in a run. Victor Caratini driving in the run, a solid single into right field. Driving in Ian Happ, and the Cubs now lead by a score of 5-1.
The Marlins swept a doubleheader from the Orioles. Brian Anderson pitching in.
1-0 Marlins. Anderson the batter. Here's the pitch to Brian, and he hits it off the end of the bat and rolls it through the right side. That's going to cash in John Birdie. 2-0 Marlins on an opposite field hit by Brian Anderson right off the very end of the bat, and he comes up smiling at first base.
This was game one of the Yankees-Phillies doubleheader. Bryce Harper at the plate.
The 0-2 swung on, hit in the air well. Right field, going back on it is Tauchman to the track. He pulls up at the wall, and it is gone. Bryce Harper with his second home run of the year. And it's a two-run shot, and the Phillies get two of them back. It's now a one-run game at 3-2 New York.
In game two, Luke Voit struck back.
So here's Luke Voit, did not play in the first game. And that one is drilled deep to left field. There it goes. See ya. Oh, what a shot by Voit. It is 1-0 Yanks.
Phillies and Yankees split that doubleheader. Nobody can stop the Twins these days. Max Kepler getting a big hit from Minnesota in the top of the ninth.
And the 2-0 pitch, a swing and a drive into right field and deep. Back it goes, deep it goes, and gone. Kepler seals it. A ninth inning, two out, three-run homer, 5-0 Twins.
And how about Mike Trout? The new dad has new dad strength. Two more home runs against the Mariners on Wednesday.
Here's Mike Trout batting. Trout has hit the ball on the left side of the infield twice, once on the ground and one a pop-up, 0-2.
Oh, man, that's got some sound. Lewis back to the wall. Did he get it? No. Big fly for Mike Trout. The Angels with back-to-back jacks, and now they're down one.
The Padres and the Dodgers, a great game that they played last night. The Dodgers were clinging to a 7-6 lead, and then Chris Taylor came up big for the Dodgers.
Kenley Jansen against Manny Machado. First pitch.
Line to left field. Taylor is there, makes the catch. Here's the throw to the plate. It is there, and the game is over. Chris Taylor ends the night with an outfield assist from left, and the Dodgers take the series from the Padres.
Before we move on to talk to Marley Rivera and Jesse Rogers, I want to fill you in on a couple of exciting things going on at ESPN. The first major of 2020 is finally here. Get exclusive coverage of the PGA Championship August 6th through 9th on ESPN and ESPN+. And since we know you've been missing golf, we here at ESPN Digital Audio teamed up with our friends at the PGA to give you something big to look forward to in 2021. This is your chance to win a VIP experience to the 2021 PGA Championship at the world-class Kiawa Island Golf Resort. The four-day, three-night grand prize package for the winner and guest includes round-trip air and hotel at the Sanctuary, a five-star oceanfront hotel on the island, two tickets to the PGA Chalet, and two pairs of Wanamaker Club tickets, two free one-year-long subscriptions to ESPN+, stream live coverage of featured holes every weekend on ESPN+. Win a year of exclusive live sports, originals, and more with ESPN+. For your chance to win, go to www.ESPNRadioSweeps.com to enter now through August 11th. Limit to one entry. One grand prize winner will be selected. Visit www.ESPNRadioSweeps.com for official rules.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Marley Rivera covers baseball for ESPN, and Marley, I saw one of your tweets yesterday, and it brought really important context. We've been without power at our house for 2 days. As you and I talk, we're down to 18% on my computer, so I'm going to try to go fast, but I need your context. I think it's important that people remember this.
I obviously said it in jest, Buster, but I did mean it. And let me be very clear. We all do this. Everybody loses perspective. I have done it plenty of times. So, you know, I am, you know, really telling people what I should do, too, which is my parents and my family in Puerto Rico after, you know, Hurricane Maria hit. They spent about 3-4, some of them 6 months without power. And I got a little bit annoyed at people being complaining online and just tweeting all the time about how they couldn't charge their phone. And that sort of made me feel really bad about it and just kind of saying, hey, guys, let's just get some perspective here that some people are actually in real trouble and that it's okay for you to not have power on your phone for a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm not going to tell you about being a little bit sore needing some Advil after clearing out some trees yesterday. And we'll just get into the baseball. So I feel like that the team that could be the most 2020 team in all of baseball would be the Marlins, who got shut down. Marley, they're 5-1. If they make the playoffs, that would be so 2020.
And it's amazing because I was looking at the NL standings, and obviously I had noticed that, especially in most of the websites, they appear by win percentage, right? Which means that in the toughest, one of the toughest divisions in baseball across the board, like you said, Buster, it's the most 2020 thing that could happen ever is Marlins leading the NL East at this point. It's just really extraordinary to watch. But you know what? I can't believe that we're actually still playing. That after, you know, after we hear of an organization, right, getting, you know, an outbreak of COVID-19, that these games are still going on. That there's a, you know, an Olympic speed skater now playing for the Miami Marlins. It really is just an incredible story in what has been an incredible season.
Yeah, and we get asked all the time, okay, what's it going to take to shut it down? I think we're beginning to define that a little bit. Like, you know, we went through the thing with the Marlins, and that didn't shut it down. And then we've now dealt with this thing with the Cardinals. I'm beginning to wonder if, you know what, it might take five or six teams all at once having outbreaks to shut it down. Or, and this has always been the wild card to me, some player, especially someone of prominence, getting really sick or, God forbid, worse. But I think that we are seeing the way that baseball is handling this, that they'll roll with one or two outbreaks.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right about that, Buster. And it's unfortunate that we think that way in terms of a star getting right, like a bunch of players who are sick. It really is. It's kind of so hard to think about it that way, that that's what it will require to shut down a season. So, of course, that's not what we want to happen. And we have seen now Major League Baseball and the teams and the PA, everyone taking steps, right, to ensure that what happened at the Marlins and what happened, you know, later on at the Cardinals will not happen at any other team, because it will definitely, a couple of those teams happening, right, it will shut everything down. So one of the things that they're doing now is basically sending home monitors. I mean, you're going to have people who are going to be at team hotels, and you're going to have, right, representatives from Major League Baseball and from the union making sure that players are doing as they're told. It's really kind of funny, like, that you need babysitters, but apparently this is what you're going to need to finally, you know, to be able to continue to play this season.
I'll always remember one of my first conversations with you after they started the summer camp, and I asked you how players are feeling, and you used the word, I think, scared. Among the players you talk to now, what's your sense of how they're feeling about this?
There's a divisive feeling. I feel that, and the word was petrified, because that was one of the things that they really, really felt. And I heard that word several times. And it's 50-50, Buster. I have heard some guys who are really impressed. Like, I've heard a lot of, particularly from teams that have handled things very well. And as we know, there are two to three teams out there that don't even have any outbreak, right? Absolutely no players testing positive for COVID-19. So those are the ones that you hear from all the time that are really positive about it. And then you get the ones who play in the NL East, who have been affected by the Marlins and the Cardinals outbreak, who say to me, you know, one of them compared this to jail, he wasn't
literal
making fun
way.
Of it. He was saying, exactly. Thank you, Buster. But it's one of those moments that he was just saying, this is very difficult to do, but we just have to do it. This is the season that we're going to have, and we're professionals, and this is our job. So you get both sides. There are some of them who are doing it because, you know what, I'm just a professional and this is my job. And there are other ones who are doing it precisely because they believe the protocols are working and they want to be there for their team. So it's just, but it's really 50-50. But that part of being there for the team, it's new. I hadn't heard that a lot. It wasn't something that was a consideration. And I feel they're starting to get into the season, if that makes any sense.
It's interesting. Aaron Boone, in a Zoom call we did with him on Sunday before a Sunday night baseball game, said something to us that I'm sure you've heard him say to you guys who cover the team on a daily basis. That, you know, he's told his staff, he told his players, look, we have to live this. We have to own this. There's an advantage to be gotten here. And I think he's 100% right, because what I've heard, and I'm not going to use the team's name specifically, but there is a prominent team. And I heard yesterday from someone on the inside of that team who said, these guys do not want to be here. They want this to be over. And you get that sense among some groups.
Absolutely, Buster. That is exactly, you know, this. And thank you for explaining it better. And I appreciate the fact that a player, you know, that you're getting in straight from somebody, you know, from a team. That's exactly the feeling. You get the dichotomy. It's incredible. You know, those guys that will say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to go through this. It is so hard. One of them told me it's not fun. And that's the part, right? Because this is a base. This is a game, right? One of the things that we mention all the time is that these guys are privileged, right, to make a career playing a game. If they're not having fun, then why is it worth it? So then all these guys that are not having fun, are the ones that are like, I'm going to go. But you know what, Buster? A lot of those guys are also the very wealthy ones. And a lot of the guys that have to play this season, it's a very different status to have to play than to need to play or to want to play. So those are, you know, entirely different things. And there's a lot of guys that have to play because their families depend on it. And they're not, you know, right, the big millionaires, so they only have 1 year left, or they're only going to make it to the majors 1 year. So they really got to take advantage of this one. And then there's the millionaires who can actually sit back and say, you know what, I'm not enjoying this. I can step out and just look forward at 2021. So it's just really interesting to see both sides. But what you've heard from teams, and especially from prominent teams, it's absolutely true. It is happening. It is not widespread. It is something that I've only heard for just a few teams, but it is happening.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing the Cubs coalesce very well together. You know, first-year manager David Ross, that's the sense you get. I think the Yankees absolutely have that sense. Because you're around the Yankees every day, I want to ask you about a couple of individual players. One, Aaron Judge, off to a phenomenal start, another home run yesterday. What do you think is different besides his health?
I think obviously the health is a really, really big factor. There's a moment where Aaron Judge in 2017, when he had that incredible breakout year, that he sort of embraced his celebrity, right? There's a moment when you are, you know, there's a degree of, you know, being very proud of yourself without that ego part that can be off-putting to a lot of people. And I do think that always the really great athletes, most of them have that. I feel that that's what we're seeing again of Aaron Judge. 2 years later, you're seeing that guy that truly believes that he can rake every time he goes to the plate, because he is not thinking about the rib. He is not thinking about whether the shoulder is hurting. So for a first time, we're getting a fully healthy Aaron Judge. He has said it. He's like, this is the best I've felt, right, in a long time. And this is, and he is fully healthy. He hasn't said I'm at 100%, but he said I am fully healthy. And I think that's the difference. When he steps at the plate, he is not thinking about absolutely anything else but the work he has done at the plate at this time. And he's not concerned about anything else around him. And it is part of that Yankees thing that we've been talking about. This is a team with a mission, right? We know exactly what the Yankees, you know, for them not having won in more than a decade, you know, for the evil empire, that's unheard of. Well, it's not unheard of. It has happened in the past, but it's something that they will not tolerate. So that's exactly what the Yankees are doing. Their focus, what Aaron Boone told you is precisely it. It's the one team that you will not hear complain about anything whatsoever. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and it's much more impressive now, Buster. They stand up there. They say the right things. They play, quote unquote, the right way, and they are winning. I mean, they are 8-2. So it's impressive. Everything that the Yankees are doing is working, and I do think there is a lot of a mental aspect to this, which is kind of what I'm seeing in an Aaron Judge too. It's a reflection of what the Yankees are doing, how solid they are mentally through this.
I do feel like that potentially the Achilles heel of this team is Gary Sanchez. You know, plays such an important defensive position. He looks awful, Marley.
Yeah, he does look awful offensively, but defensively he's looked so good. And in a team that has that kind of lineup, I just don't know that I agree with you. I understand that the Yankees need Gary Sanchez. Let's be very clear. You know, someone who can contribute 30-plus home runs, then just, you know, it's definitely necessary because he has the power there. But at this point, Buster, the Yankees are 8-2, and Gleyber Torres and Gary Sanchez are not hitting. And it's not like Aaron Hicks is really hitting yet. Giancarlo Stanton, obviously, you know, started the season pretty hot. And there's other guys that, you know, are pretty hot at the plate, like Mike Ford or Tauchman. Like, these guys are playing really well. So they almost don't need Gary. And it is weird to say that, because in a 60-game season, and we've heard the cliche repeatedly that it's a sprint and not a marathon, in this sprint that we're having right now, you can do it, because it's such a short period of time that if it takes him a little bit to get going, it's okay. If there is a team that can absorb that, it's the New York Yankees because of that lineup. And then you get guys like Gio Urshela and like Brett Gardner showing up offensively, which obviously, you know, it's a newer thing in the last couple of years. So I think that the Yankees can tolerate Gary, you know, not being great at the plate, not the entire season, but just in the beginning.
All right, Marley. I appreciate it. I'm down to 12%. We covered a lot of ground in that 6% that I just gave up on my laptop. And thanks for giving me some perspective. I will not complain about not having power. Thanks for doing this.
You know what? Don't worry, Buster. And it's okay to complain. Let me be very clear. The first time I went back to, I want to make sure that everyone knows that I make fun of myself, too. The very first time I went to Puerto Rico back when my parents still had no power and one of my brother's houses was destroyed by the hurricane, we are there and I spent overnight with no power. And I was, you know, I was complaining that I couldn't charge my phone. So it happened. It's something that I did, too. So it's just something that we all do. But it is really good to get a little perspective every once in a while.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jesse Rogers covers the Chicago Cubs and Major League Baseball for ESPN. And Jesse, in that realm, yesterday you got a chance to talk to the commissioner, Rob Manfred. What did he tell you?
Yeah, it was real interesting regarding the spread within the Marlins and the Cardinals. They have tracked this down to lax protocols, and that is why hours later they sent memos to all 30 teams outlining the new and enhanced protocols. And boy, I mean, these are some lockdown measures Major League Baseball is taking. And it's not like he's blaming 30 players and staff members, whatever the number is between the Marlins and Cardinals for testing positive. It could be the smallest thing, Buster. Lowering your mask at the same time someone in the same row on the plane is lowering his mask. Even if you're eating, they're asking you to stagger how you eat. A guy in one row eat, two rows behind you can eat, but not in the same row. You know, so they are really locking down on the protocols, not assigning a lot of blame. I know people were looking for salacious headlines between the Marlins and the Cardinals. It's not about that. It's about stopping the spread, and they are really locking things down, even threatening expulsion from the season to players if they don't follow the rules. And the big change, Buster, is, to me at least, one big change, face coverings everywhere, dugout, bullpen, hotel, everywhere except the playing field. And that's just, they were doing that, obviously, a lot of these guys, but not to this extent. And, of course, there's some other changes as well. I mean, these players really have to be like robots moving forward. That's it. Field, home, hotel, and that is it. And, of course, taking protocols at all those places.
Jesse, it's interesting because as this has gone on, people have wondered, hey, for those players who violate protocol, is there going to be a penalty? And as you know, they couldn't do that unless the Player Association and Major League Baseball were working in concert. So is there an agreement on how to handle, let's say that you had a player who thought the whole mask and the social distancing thing was hooey. Right now, after, you know, a couple of weeks of this and a couple of outbreaks, how do you think baseball would handle that, especially given the relationship with the Player Association?
Well, it's very clear in the memo they sent to teams. And of course, there's some caveats. If a guy just says, oh, I'm not wearing it one time, he's not immediately, you know, expelled from the league. It has to be multiple infractions or egregious infractions. But I don't think they're going to let a guy, you know, just slide for a week. I mean, if they tell him to wear it and he refuses, and they tell him to wear it again and he refuses, that's grounds for dismissal from the team. Now, the compliance officers, here's my one sort of pushback. The compliance officers are, as far as I know, already employees of each team. I mean, a perfect world, you'd have a third party be your compliance officer. I know with the Chicago Cubs, their compliance officer is the traveling secretary. So it's someone they work closely with anyway. Will he be willing to rat out a player? I mean, I hope so, because it affects the health of everyone else on that plane or wherever the case may be. But they have laid it out pretty clear in these memos. Now, you know, a player might push back and say, look, I didn't refuse. What are you talking about? I put it up 5 seconds later. So obviously there's some gray area in all of this. But it's pretty clear. This was a lengthy and detailed memo how they are going to enhance the protocols, which basically leads to locking things down even more than they have.
All right. This Sunday, we've got the Chicago Cubs, the team you cover, playing the St. Louis Cardinals on Sunday Night Baseball, assuming that the Cardinals get back on the field and actually begin to play games this weekend. I was just talking to Marley Rivera how it does feel like a separator to a large degree competitively is how much collaboration there is in the team groups. And it seems like right now the Cubs are off to a great start. I did radio this morning in Kansas City, and they were, the radio host there, Nate Buchady, was telling me about how the Cubs just seem like they're totally into this. Like they are fully invested in these games and going, to handling this unusual situation, and that's become an advantage for them. What do you see?
Yeah, it's so interesting that a radio host in Kansas City would notice that, right? That's arm's length away from the team, but maybe that's how obvious it is. Because that host was exactly right. It comes down to this, Buster, and even more so with these protocols being enhanced. If you are going to embrace this whole dysfunction, you are going to perform that much better on the field. I think you can draw a direct line from the Cubs off the field to what they're doing on the field. Now, you have to have talent, of course, but Jason Kipnis said it right. We are addressing the coronavirus with the same kind of professionalism that we are addressing our play on the field, and it is reaching peak performance right now in both categories. The Cubs have not had a positive coronavirus test since intake testing. Absolutely amazing. And of course they're off to this great start on the field. And I think it has something to do with David Ross. I really do. He brings that energy, right? We know that he inherently brings energy. And what's going on, Buster, is because these players have to be like robots off the field, once they get on the field, that's when they let it loose. This pent-up energy comes out in the form of great, well-played baseball, and the team is winning games. Think about the protocols. The only place you can't wear a mask is on the field. Or you don't have to wear a mask, I should say, is on the field. It's such a metaphor. That's where players can be free and loose. And I know it's the same for every team, but the ones that embrace it the most are the ones that are going to succeed the most. And I do think the Cubs are not the most talented team in the league, but the fact that they are unified and having fun through this dysfunction is affecting their play, and that's one reason they have the record they do.
The best player that I've seen on the field for them in the games that I've seen has been Wilson Contreras. What are you seeing in him this year?
Well, he's got a really pretty right-handed swing. Joe Maddon used to say when that swing is taking that ball to left center, we always talk about opposite field. Not always, there's some swings are better for gaps, for pull gaps. And he's that kind of guy. He's just been locked in basically since spring training. And then it carried over to summer camp. He was hitting home runs and scrimmages out here to the regular season. They have the best catching combo at the plate of anyone in the league. Victor Caratini and Wilson Contreras have been sometimes alternating one DHs, one catches. Caratini's a nice backup. He catches Yu Darvish. That combo has been great. So yes, Wilson Contreras, one of the best position players, but Tyler Chatwood on the mound. And you knew that he had this in him. He can spin the ball with the rest of them, Buster. He's able to move it to the left and right side of the strike zone, but within the strike zone. His problems in the past were walking guys. Here there's movement both ways within the zone. He's getting a lot of swing and miss. So you're talking about like X factor guys. We know the stars on this team, but when the catchers can be, difference makers, and your fourth or fifth starters can be. Alec Mills is another guy, not very well known. That's where your team can elevate, and that's what's happening.
Last one for you. Where are the Cubs on the question about who they're going to invest in? When we look at, them, you've got Chris Bryan, who's eligible for free agency after 2021. Same with Javier Baez. Same with Anthony Rizzo. My guess is they probably have just tabled all of that until the dust settles and they know where they stand financially.
That's what it seems like. The first guy up has been Baez for a while now. Like the negotiations were getting close. In fact, if not for the shutdown, he may have signed. And think about that, what the numbers were before the shutdown and what they may be after. Then again, Mookie Betts got paid, so you never know. But Baez is the guy. I don't know if it's going to happen soon or in the offseason, but I think it's still going to happen. The guy no one talks about is Kyle Schwarber. He's up with the rest of them. Left-handed power, now that the DH might be a stay in the National League, it's pretty valuable. And I think he'll come at a decent rate. So you could see Baez, and then you could see Schwarber. And, of course, Rizzo's a different category in one sense. He's another option year. And Brian has one more year as well, and obviously has Scott Boris as an agent. So I think it'll be Baez from the right side, and maybe, you know, kind of quietly could be Schwarber from the left side. We'll see.
All right, Jesse. Thanks for doing this. Good to talk with you. Great job.
You got it. Take care, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
All righty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Thursday coming in. Trevor Dunning, first up, he writes in, "Hey, Buster, without an All-Star game, will All-Stars still be selected this year?"
No, Trevor. And by the way, Taylor, down to 3% of my computer. No, they won't be. Look, the All-Star game was postponed this year. There will be other major awards. They'll be done by the Baseball Writers Association, by Major League Baseball, but there will not be All-Stars this year.
And last Bleacher Tweet for today, our pal Jason Amico writes in, "A guy from my high school, Mark Mathias, will make his Major League debut today for the Brewers in place of injured Ryan Braun. What are some of your favorite or the most memorable stories from guys on their very first call up to the show?"
You know, I always love the stories about the players informing their families, and then the parents and siblings and, you know, girlfriends racing to find ways to get to the game on time. And sometimes they're not able to do that. Mike Trout's parents, I remember, you know, when he made his debut, they like arrived like mid-game because there was some plane delay. But here was an interesting story about a debut that I just heard recently. We have this E60 on Pete Alonso that's coming out on Sunday, 5 o'clock on ESPN. I had so much fun working on this. But one of the stories was Pete Alonso made his debut in Washington, D.C. against Max Scherzer last year. Alonso and his family went out for dinner. And one of the people at the dinner, it was a big group, was Derek Morgan, his cousin. And after that, or during the course of that dinner, Pete looked at him and said, "Hey, dude, how's your batting practice going?" In other words, how well are you throwing batting practice these days? And Derek Morgan was throwing to high school kids, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm okay." And Pete Alonso said to him on opening day of his rookie season, "Yeah, I think I'm going to be in the home run derby, so you better get ready."
Very
and
cool.
It turned out to be exactly right because, yes, in mid-June, Derek Morgan was on his way to a bachelor party, and he got the call from Pete Alonso, "Yeah, I'm in the home run derby. I'm going to need you to throw." And they, of course, won the home run derby. That's Pete Alonso.
Very cool. That does it for Bleacher Tweets. Thanks for writing in, everyone.
That's it for today. My thanks to Taylor, to Marley, to Jesse. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on race is something we need to fight against every single day. And as I finish, we're down to 2%. Taylor, nice job.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.